You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. If you haven't yet checked out our multi-site course on how
do
to
do it now.
Yeah, newchurches.com/multi-site.
Sorry, people and were wondering what was going on.
Yeah.
I needed to interrupt at that point.
Why it was so smooth? You could have let me finish.
Smooth
jam. Listening. You're listening to 93.7. No. That's Todd Adkins. My name is Daniel M. And we have a great question from Scott Curtis, a friend from Australia. Scott. Our mate, I reckon.
I reckon so.
So we were in Australia a few months ago doing Leadership Pipeline consulting, and Scott was one of the guys taking in Pipeline there and trying to figure out how to apply it into his multi-site church. So let's listen in.
Hey team at New Churches. My name is Scott Curtis. I'm a pastor at Hunter Bible Church in Newcastle, Australia. We're a church of about 1,000. We've just recently gone to 3 sites and 4 services. And the way we structure our leadership with our staff team is to have pastors over about 6 key areas, and they have responsibility and authority in those areas over all 4 of our services at the moment. We have campus pastors who are more influencing those guys at each of those sites and services. And so my question is, as we view to kind of plant more churches, more sites and more services, what issues might we have with our current leadership structure, and what leadership structures work effectively for scalability, particularly in the multi-site context? Thanks, guys.
Don't you love that accent?
I love it.
Three sites.
That's such a good accent. Well, Scott is great. It was really neat to see him, not only for him to be a part of our Pipeline Day when we are consulting with a specific church who is probably, I guess, MBM Rudy Hill was about the same size.
Yeah.
Right?
Ish.
Yeah, ish. So it was neat to see him process what it looked like for us to implement Pipeline at that church, as well as trying to figure out, okay, how do we then do this outside of, you know, in more of a multi-site context? And so just a quick recap as we get into this then, 1,000 people, 6 key pastors. And what's fascinating here, and this is some good context as we get into the question, you know, many North American churches will have, especially in a church of this size that is doing multi-site, many of them will have maybe like a groups pastor or like a, you know, like a community life pastor. They'll have a student pastor, a kids pastor, guest services. So really focused a little bit more on an area focused in on, I guess, I don't know how to compare it really to the Australia model, because they use like a mobilization.
Yeah, they use like purpose-driven 5M kind of a thing.
Exactly. It's almost like they took purpose-driven to the next level. Yeah. Right? Because you have like a magnification pastor, someone who's over worship and arts, someone over mobilization, someone mission. Over maturity, mission. Yeah, so they like using those M's there. I mean, not every Australian church, but the ones that we interacted with. So it sounds like from Scott that there are those pastors over each of those areas, and then the campus pastors didn't seem like maybe they had decision-making authority at a ministry philosophy level.
It was more of they're the people that are like getting it done.
Yeah. So more the implementers rather than the global thinkers. This is ministry philosophy, long-term planning.
Well, and different churches in the States as well have different philosophies of what a campus pastor is and should do.
Exactly.
And some morph over the course of time. Because
totally. So, I mean, I think we should be talking about that morphing aspect of it, because right now he has 3 sites, 4 services, and he's just really asking about his current leadership structure and what it needs to move to in order to scale up.
It's all about scalability, really.
Scale it up. So what are some of your thoughts, Todd?
Well, okay. So the biggest thing that you need in scalability is simplicity. The next would be clarity.
Yeah.
So if you can provide simplicity and clarity, you can make it easily repeatable. If it's not clear and it's not simple enough for normal people to understand, then it's not gonna scale. So with that, think scalable structure, scalable systems, scalable ministry process. And just like we talk about pipeline, that comes down to things that you may not think are terribly important, but really are. And that would be things like your applications for ministry, not just across one campus, but across all campuses. Does this all look the same? Just a different logo at the top. That's vitally, vitally important, because if you're growing, you'll continue to plant more campuses. And as you do, it's natural that people are going to migrate from one to the other, either because they've been asked to go or because it's closer to their community, or whatever it is. So
yeah,
simplicity and clarity.
So I feel like on that note, you can take a look at it from a spectrum, right? So on the one hand, you can say, okay, here are some scalable structures, here are some scalable processes, some tools like the job application forms or the volunteer application forms. So you can scale it up in that way, saying, hey, this is what it looks like for orientation. This is what it looks like for ongoing development. That's what we talk about with Leadership Pipeline. You got your core competencies and you got your role-based skills. So you can definitely standardize that, scale that up there. And that's really looking at it more from I don't like using the word policy, but it's a little bit more on the end of policy and procedures, right? The tools, that end. The other way that you need to scale up, Scott, and something for everyone else, this applies not only for someone who's in multi-site, 4 services, 3 sites, going to more services and sites. This goes to, let's say you're a church plant and you want to start your second service, or you're trying to multiply yourself and start another church. So this goes to that end as well, but it's about actually scaling up people's decision-making competencies. So when you look at the 6 key pastors having authority, and this is lots of times it's that global team, right? That global team is spending a lot of time with one another. They are probably on the same campus. They are probably have a common history together. There's this culture that maybe is unspoken, that is embedded, whether the church has clarified values or not. Right, you can get to 3 sites without clarifying your values, just through a lot of sweat and hard work and people being in the same room. But I can imagine that if the sites are spread apart, the campus pastors probably don't get the same level of shoulder time, values, cultures, and all that. So there's probably tension that exists, Scott, in your church. And if you are multi-site, you know what I'm talking about, that there is that tension that develops between core services, global staff, and the campus pastors. That honestly, the only way to solve that as you move forward and as you grow is by clarifying your culture, clarifying your values, really understanding, hey, this is what our decision-making persona or our lane is, how we react, what our gauge, what our compass is in making decisions. What are some of your thoughts, Todd? I mean, how do you get there? Because when you were at McLean and in a lot of the churches that we've consulted with and helped with, I mean, that transition is always a huge one, right? Going from who really does make the decisions.
Right. So we changed over the course of time. So when we first started out, we were much like this scenario where the people who had been over specific ministry areas remained over those ministry areas at first as we went out and did campuses. Now, I think when we hit 3, there started to be a lot of tension. And then when we hit 5, it was like, man, we can't do this anymore. Like we have to have these things broken up. We're making poor decisions that keep coming back up to the senior level of the church that should not be, these decisions should not be coming back up to us. Why are they coming to us? Because someone in, like, in this case, it was like Children's, you know, somebody in Children's made this decision and it affected the campus in a crazy adverse way. And so you now have the campus pastor saying, hey, not only do you have the children's person there, but the campus pastor coming back and saying, this does not work for us.
Yeah.
So we ended up putting together, we made everybody, you know, read Politics, Silos, and Turf Wars, and put together working groups where the leadership of that area changed. It rotated over the course of time. So for these 3 months or these 6 months, you are in charge of leading the conversation. If there is a decision that needs to be made or a conflict on what this decision should be, then it will rise up. But we do not want that to rise up. If it rises up, you guys have failed to work together.
Yeah. So you could hustle and get to 3 campuses. You can hustle and get to 2 or 3 services. But as you, if it's 100% based on personality or even a command and control type of leader, right, or command and control type of leaders, the larger you get, the more complex it is, and it just starts breaking down. And what ends up happening is the senior leader and everyone else at a decision-making level, they just get sucked into meetings.
You can't after meetings, scale
hustle. After meetings. No, you can't.
You can scale hustlers. And by that, if you are producing, or if you are saying, hey, here are the values of our organization, one of those is hustling.
Yeah.
Great. But you can't do that on the back of, you know, a small group of people who hustle. So you have to create that as part of your organization and build it into the DNA of the organization to say, hey, we're going to develop savvy people, not savvy systems. Your savvy systems will be great. And, you know, it sounds like, Todd, you're saying two different things. No. No, I'm not. Savvy systems are vitally important. They're vitally important to attract and keep savvy people. If you don't have savvy systems, those people will leave and go where they can get stuff done. But a lot of times in organizations, the older and older they get, they put policies in place and procedures in place because somebody did something dumb, and they wind up with antiquated systems that are not streamlined or aligned with their mission, their values, anything. And so it actually slows down the pace of ministry, and you have to hire people to make this their full-time job in order to get anything done versus saying, no, we're going to have savvy people in savvy systems who are executing.
Yeah, we talked about this before, both on our 5LQ podcast and this one as well. But if you haven't read Extreme Ownership by, I think it's Jocko Willink, and so pick a copy of that because that'll help with some of those decision-making things. Same with Team of Teams by Stanley McChrystal.
It's great. The Jocko one is great to listen to on Audible.
Oh, yeah.
Because he does
there's,
it.
And there's sound effects.
I don't remember
sound effects. Yeah. Where if like they're in the battlefield, he'll actually do or boom.
Oh, you know, there's gonna mind to introduce the chapters. I don't know. I did that one. I think I'd read a long time ago, and we keep referencing that and McChrystal Team of Teams. Yeah. And I was like, everybody's gonna sleep on this big drive on vacation, and my wife is gonna sleep. My kids are gonna watch something.
So oh yeah, that's what I do too.
I just popped in.
No, completely.
And I'm like, I need to get back in touch with Jocko.
Yeah. So the next thing, and this will end with this note. I know we got some people thinking this and being like, well, I do want to start another service. I do want to go multi-site. Then I might as well just start there. I might as well start with the structure and the systems at, you know, that you'll need at 4 campuses or 5 campuses. I might as well start there instead of going through the pain of having to transition. And to that, I say no, sir, because if you start with that, you're overstructuring, you're going to suffocate, and you're not even going to be able to get there if you have that sort of structure, because that's not going to be nimble enough. It's not going to be what you need to get there. So transitioning, it's just a part of it. It's the life cycle of a church, of an organization, different systems, different times, different styles of leadership are needed at every level. But that's enough for today. If you want to learn a little bit more about all of that, I know Todd and I could go hours and hours on life cycles and all that. So send in a question and we will devote another episode to that. Thanks again for listening in.